our lesson this evening. Now, if you look in your bulletins, it says, identifying marks of a faithful Christian. And the more I looked at my notes, well, that's not an accurate title to this lesson. Maybe just speaking of the faithful Christian, that might be a better way in which to look at it, because what I'm planning on doing this evening is breaking this down into three little segments. Probably isn't going to take real long to do these, but we're going to look at the faithful Christian from the general population, how people in general identify what a faithful Christian is. From there, we'll go into God's Word and look at what He has to say about it, because, of course, God is our source. And then in the last place, we'll be looking at really a self-examination to see if we are fulfilling those things that God wants us to fulfill as Christians, as faithful Christians, or what we can do to help ourselves to grow and to mature. Because as we've said so many times before, the life of a Christian is a continual, or at least it should be a continual growth process. So with that said, in general within our world, when it comes to identifying what a true Christian is, a faithful Christian, you're probably going to hear a lot of varied responses to that. Oh, a Christian's a nice person. They act nice, they do nice things. Along with that, they are active participants in worship. They show up all the time when the doors are open, and they're doing things, and they're letting people know about Christ. And that's not to say that any of these are wrong. I guess the point I want to make is we have to be careful not to just look at the external. We need to know the internal, because that's where God looks. We've talked about this recently. In lessons, we look at, or have looked at, the early life of King David, or really once Saul had the kingship taken away from him because of his disobedience. Well, it was time to go look for someone to replace him. And Samuel went about that. And as we look in Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 16, it discusses that process. And we go to, what is that? The house of Jesse, and we start looking at the sons. And right off the bat, as we look at chapter 16, beginning with verse 6, we read, when they entered, he, meaning Samuel, looked at Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. So just looking at the exterior, this has to be the one that God wants. But as we read in verse 7, the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I've rejected him. For God sees not as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And we're going to be talking about that here in just a little bit, and the importance of the heart. And we can look to Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8, and have some similar thoughts about God's thoughts and man's thoughts are quite different. And we need to be listening to God. But another thing to take into consideration with this idea of the outward appearance is that it can be deceptive. If we look at Matthew chapter 23, we see that chapter regarding all those woes that were pronounced upon the scribes and the Pharisees. And part of that had to do with the outward versus the inward. And if we'll turn over to Matthew 23, we'll read a few verses there, beginning with verse 25 and through verse 28. Matthew 23, 25 through 28. And actually, yeah, that's right. That's correct. There it says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you clean the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside they are full of robbery and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and of the dish, so that the outside of it may become clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which are on the outside appear beautiful, but inside they are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. So you too outwardly appear righteous to men, but inwardly you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." So the outward appearance is not necessarily enough. What's important is what's on the inside, what's in the heart. And that's what we're going to be looking at in the next segment of our lesson this evening, as we look at the faithful Christian, the importance of the heart. I remember, vaguely, I guess, going back whenever I first obeyed the gospel, and there was this statement that was made quite often. It's really just some letters, G-I-G-O. And at first it didn't mean a whole lot to me, but when it's explained, it was like garbage in, garbage out. So what you put in is going to come out of that heart. And we see that in God's word that, yeah, that's true. What we put into our hearts is what's going to be coming out of it. But as I was putting this lesson together, we can look on the opposite side of that as well. Goodness in, goodness out. If we put good into our hearts, if we put righteousness into our hearts, then more than likely, that's what's going to come out and it's going to be seen within us. So I guess the point I'm pushing toward now is, how do we do that? We are to be a people that is separate from the world, but we have to be out within the world. We've got to exhibit that true Christianity within us. How do we do that? How do we separate ourselves from everyone else? Because there are people all around this world who do nice things, who are good people, but they've never obeyed the gospel. How do we make that distinction? Well, we have to be consistent. How we act outwardly should be a manifestation of what is within our hearts. No matter where we are, whether we're here in a worship service, whether we're at work, whether we're at the grocery store, whether we're visiting with a neighbor, people should be able to see within us that difference and say, yeah, that person is a true Christian. Because everything they strive to say and do is in accordance with the will of God. And people will take note of that. And as Art was talking this morning, part of what we do in going and taking the gospel to all the world is verbalizing that, but also living it so that people can see it. I'm impressed with the life and the teachings of the Apostle Paul. You look at the writings of Paul, and consistently in his writings, there are things that talk about the proper heart, the inner man, walking the way that the Lord wants us to walk. For example, if you go to Galatians chapter 5, there we read about the fruit of the Spirit. If you look prior to that as well as after it, it talks about walking in the Spirit. Well, how do you walk in the Spirit? Well, you do that by instilling within your hearts and minds. We do that by instilling within our hearts and minds these attributes, these characteristics. And as we look at Galatians chapter 5, beginning with verse 22, it tells us there, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Not something just casual. When we talk about love, we're talking about that sacrificial type of love, the love that looks out for the well-being of others. And that's all people. Not just the ones that we love and cherish and get along with. We have a responsibility to everyone to show that kind of love. And sometimes it's difficult, but we need to do so. Joy. We need to exhibit joy. And we need to have an inner peace. Patience. That's a struggle that I have, being patient. I want things to happen right now. But we've got to slow down. We've got to be patient. Let things run their course. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And I always like the end of this. Against such things, there is no law. If we're doing these things, we're doing what the Lord wants us to do. We're doing what's right. People will see those things. And that's what we need to strive to do. But not only does Paul talk about this in the Galatian letter. Look at Ephesians. Look at Colossians. Similar types of things. For example, in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 24. Once again, it's talking about the Christian walk. It talks about how we once were, but no longer should be. So this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And we don't want to have that hard heart. We want to have that heart that God wants us to have. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. Once again, one of those verses I like, verse 20, but you did not learn Christ in this way. This is not how Christ is. And then he's going to go on and say, this is how we should be. If indeed you've heard him and have been taught in him just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, put that old self aside, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And we're talking about that renewal of the spirit of the mind. That's also the renewal of the heart. And put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. So righteousness, doing what is right in the sight of God, abiding by his teaching, following his commands, as well as in holiness, in purity, in honesty, in simplicity. And then Colossians, and we'll not read through all of Colossians as we've done with the other passages, but if you look at Colossians 3, verses 12 through 17, much of the same thing is talked of there in regards to this heart and making it the heart that the Lord wants it to be, the heart that the Lord wants us to have. Putting off the old person, the old man, putting on the new. For us to be able to exhibit this type of heart, we have to be active. We have to be out and about. We have to get out in the community and let the light of Christ shine through us. Once again, no matter where we are, we have to hold that consistency in the way in which we live our lives, excuse me, in service to the Lord. But living such a lifestyle, living for Jesus, it can be challenging. Look around us. Look in this world in which we live, with so many trying to stymie the efforts of the spread of the gospel. Years ago, when it was commonplace to have certain things within various institutions, whether it was within the school setting or within the governmental setting, you would hear prayers and things like that that were a common thing to encourage folks as the day began in school or as a session began in the political arena or elsewhere. And now we see those things can't be done anymore. And when we go about just living our lives and striving to be the Christians that the Lord wants us to be, standing for His truths, people laugh at us, people mock us, people give us a hard time. I say this not to discourage us, but to encourage us that we're not alone. We look at the life of Christ. What did they do to Him? We look at the life of the apostles. What did they do to them? And we are told in God's holy word that we need to be prepared for those things. Matter of fact, Jesus, before He left this earth and was preparing the apostles for what they're about to do, told them that these things were going to happen. Be prepared. Be equipped. Stay faithful and true to the Lord. And for us to do that, we have to be dedicated. We have to be devoted to the Lord. We truly need to give Him our heart. For though the world, and really though Satan, is desiring us to conform to his way and to the ways of this world, and the various things that go on within this world in which we live that are contrary to the will of God, God expects transformation from us. He doesn't want us to be conformed to this world, but He wants us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, which we read about in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And also, if you would, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, because we see a similar thought expressed by the Apostle Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 13. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves as also in all your behavior. Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And that's such a key for us. If we want to be the holy people that the Lord wants us to be, we need to look to Him. We need to look to God. We need to look to Jesus. See the holy life of Jesus, because Jesus was God in the flesh. We look to Him, we look to His example, we look to His teachings, and we follow Him to the best of our ability. This transformation, though, it takes time. It takes effort. There will be struggles. There will be stumbles along the way. But we need to recognize the weaknesses that we have. And we need to work at minimizing those things, focusing less upon this world in which we live, and focusing on heaven above, as we read in Colossians, I believe it's chapter 3 in the first couple of verses there. One of the things that we've talked about recently, and I think it was Art last Sunday, if I'm not mistaken, when we looked at Psalm 139 and looking at David and his recognition of the greatness of God, one of the things that struck me there was the all-knowing God that we have. You know, man around us, we only see the outwardness, and we get a glimpse of the inner man with how we live and how we talk and things like that. God knows everything about us. And I want to go back just for a moment and look at the first four verses of Psalm 139. To me, it's somewhat of a sobering thought to think about this, but it's also one as a reminder that God knows everything. God sees everything. And if I want to please Him, I need to be listening more carefully to Him and doing what He says. The first four verses of Psalm 139 read, "O Lord, You have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thought from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, You know it all." God knows what's here in our hearts. He knows what's in our minds. We need to do our best to be the faithful and holy people that the Lord wants us to be. And the only way we can do that is to spend as much time as we possibly can in God's Word, looking at those examples that we've been given by those faithful Christians, looking at the example of our Lord and Savior and how He lived His life, and try to live like Him to the best of our ability. So as we kind of sum up our message this evening, when we consider what makes a faithful Christian, may we remember not to base it solely on the outward appearance, for the outward appearance can be deceiving, but we need to base it upon God's standard, that standard being His Word and obedience to it, and transforming our lives to the way He wants us to be, filling our heart and our minds with those fruit of the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, walking according to God's truth, And as we do this, may we examine ourselves to be certain we are transforming our lives into the Christians He wants us to be. And I want to end with one last verse of Scripture. This is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, and something that we need to be doing on a regular basis. Test yourselves to see if you're in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? So let's examine ourselves, and let's remind ourselves that we gave our lives to Jesus. Are we living for Him as we should live? And that's our lesson. I hope it's got you thinking a little bit about things. I hope it's been of encouragement to you. At this time, we extend an invitation to anyone here this evening who wishes to become a child of God, if you haven't already done so, to do so. Or if you're here tonight and you need the prayers and the encouragement of the body, we're here for you as well. So whatever need you might have, won't you come as we stand and as we sing?